Next up, we have Arts Live and Local. Jennifer Goodenberger is here in the studio with us this afternoon. She's going to release her latest CD of original compositions titled Sonnet in concert tomorrow, September 21st at 4 p.m. at Grace Episcopal Church. That's at 1545 Franklin Avenue in Astoria. And so, Jennifer, tell us about Sonnet. Why is that the title you've chosen for this? Is your seventh CD?
My seventh CD, indeed.
Oh, wait a minute, because it's going to work better if I get your mic up.
Okay, am I on?
You are.
Yes, this is indeed my seventh CD. And the subtitle for the album is Poetry for Solo Piano. And the compositions on this have some interesting background on them, and many of them originated as poems, and the poetry then was taken, and I wrote songs with it, art songs, back when I was being a classical composer. They were more classically oriented songs for the vocal literature. And then eventually I decided I wanted to turn them into piano solos. And so once those melodies and harmonies got turned into piano solos, I was able to do more of my more contemporary way of how I treat music, rather than it being note specific like it was back when I was being a classical composer and pianist. So there's these pieces have really evolved over the years. Some of these melodies originated in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. And they were inspired, and when they were written by songs, that the poetry that I used was either poetry by Mae Sarton or by Emily Dickinson.
Well, I asked you before we went on if you were, when you were a child, if you were a child who had to be dragged kicking and screaming to piano lessons, or whether you wanted to go, and you said wanted in a big
way. Wanted. I was six, and I started begging, can't I have piano lessons? And no, I had to wait till I was nine, because that was the conventional wisdom. And I said, but Maureen Wallace, who lives down the street, she had these little teeny tiny hands and she got to take lessons. And I was told, no, you had to wait. So Maureen got to do it, but I didn't.
Well, do we have Maureen to thank for your desire to take the piano lessons, or was there something else?
I wanted to from the get-go. I was just fascinated by the piano. My parents were both loved music. We always had music on in the house, and there was never a differentiation between music. It was all the same. So we would listen to the Beatles, and then we'd listen to Mozart, and then we'd listen to Joan Baez or Bob Dylan or whoever. And there was never any this is good or this is better or anything like that with music. Music was always just so very, very honored in our household. And as a part of that, two of us are professional musicians out of the four children. So that's pretty good.
Maybe as a part of that, too, that sort of freedom of music has led you to a career where you're a composer and you do a lot of improvisation. Tell me how that kind of came about.
Well, let's see. When as a teenager, when I was playing, of course, I wanted to be a rock pianist or something.
Of course.
I was terribly influenced by Elton John. A lot of my style of playing was really picked up from Elton John back in the early 70s. And then I kind of went off to this college in California and kind of moved off into the hippie playing guitar and folk songs, and really, really actually got very involved in folk music. And my album that I put out in, I think it was 2006, is actually American Folk Songs, harking back to that period of time in my life when I was so interested in that.
I have to tell you, I love that album.
Oh, great. Oh, thank
beautiful
you.
Album.
It is a beautiful one. Yeah, well, they all are, of course. And then I eventually came back, and I eventually went off to Merrill Hurst, and I was studying music there, and there was not the option to be a folk musician or a pop musician. If you studied music, you had to study classical, and that there was no other option. So I then became very, very involved in in classical music and classical piano. I was specializing at the time in Chopin, and started getting involved in composition. Somehow, I just, you know, you had to do it a lot as part of the theory and counterpoint classes that you had to take as a music major. And I just found that I was very good at it and enjoyed it. And so the composition built from there. And then eventually I went on to get a master's in composition. And it was kind of there was a number of years between my bachelor's and my master's. And that's when I really, really got involved in poetry and setting poetry to music. And so that I worked with music of May Sarton at that point and did three of her poems about music, actually, that I set to music during that period of time. And two of those are actually on the album. And then when I went and got my master's, what I turned in for my thesis was six songs based on Emily Dickinson poems. Mm. And three of those are on the album. But at some point, I stopped being interested in playing classically. I wanted more freedom. I wanted more to do what I wanted to do. And so when I first was a composer, it was note-specific. Everything was getting written down. But then after a while, I started reverting maybe back to sort of that folk or that pop influence of it just being the melody and the chords, and that's all that's written down, so that every time I play it, it's going to be different. And in that way, it's much more jazz, too, because there is that improvisatory element to what I do. So every time you hear it, it will be a little bit different, sometimes very different, depending on my mood. When I went into the studio to record this album, and I recorded at the end of July, one of the pieces, and it's interestingly titled Reverie, I got said such a reverie while recording that I lost track of where I was and ended up going back repeating some sections. And even though I did different takes of the piece, I loved that sort of getting lost in the reverie music of it, that I ended up using that one on the album.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned, and yeah. I was gonna skip to your sonnet, the title tune of the album, but you mentioned you have a poem goes with Reverie.
Because this is one of the ones that was a May Sarton poem.
All right.
That was originally a May Sarton poem that
can
I could
we try
read.
To do a little of that now?
You bet.
And I'm gonna see if I can start the right cut here, because it jumped on me first. But here we go. We're gonna start Reverie, we think. Well, here I am, lost in reverie, and I was playing another great musician there who was here recently. That was Aaron Kaplan, but it wasn't Jennifer. So now we're going to try again to have Reverie here. I'm not sure. Right now the score is board 2, Roger nothing, but here we go again.
The clavichord by May Sarton. And just a note, a clavichord is the forerunner to the piano. It's a very small, intimate instrument, and it can only be heard within a small room because it has such a quiet sound. So, the clavichord by May Sarton. She keeps her clavichord as others keep delight. Too light to breathe, the secret word no lover ever heard, where the pure spirit lives and garlands weaves. To make the pure note sigh, not of a human grief, too brief, a sigh of such fragility, her fingers' sweet agility must hold the horizontal line in the stern power of design. The secret breathed within and never spoken, woken by music. The garlands in her hands no one has seen. She wreathes the air with green and weaves the stillness in.
Well, that was lovely. I'm going to let the music continue while we talk a little bit more. I'm really looking forward to this concert tomorrow. Can you tell us sort of the shape of the concert? It'll be a solo concert.
It will, and I'll be reading the poetry. I'll be reading six poems, kind of scattered throughout. Read the poems that inspired the music. Now, and the music itself was not given the title of the poems because the music needs to stand on its own. But I do think it's interesting to hear the poetry. Because the music is that feeling of that poetry, even if it doesn't have that title.
Mm-hmm. So. And again, this is going to be tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock at Grace Episcopal Church. And that's at 1545 Franklin in Astoria. So we hope you can make it out. If you'd like more information about the concert, you can call 503-325-5310. But it promises to be a wonderful afternoon, and that's the very first time I heard you play, Jennifer, I think, was Grace Episcopal many, many, many years ago, and I now have a number of your albums.
Great.
And hopefully everybody who goes tomorrow will buy a number of your albums.
I hope so, because they're all beautiful, and they're all my style, but they're all quite different, too. There's a Celtic one, there's the American folk song, there's the one that was created to create deep relaxation that was done for hospice and massage and things like that. So there's a lot of variety, even though they're all kind of my spin on music.
They're your style. Yeah. But I mentioned to you earlier, sometimes when I'm doing subbing on a jazz show in the mm-hmm. evening, I like to slip in one of your pieces because it is jazz in a way. The improvisation, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, is very much at the heart of jazz.
Right, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for coming in, Jennifer.
Thank you.
And what I'm going to try to do for the next few minutes is I want to get in the title song from your album, which is Sonnet, and hear a little bit of that as well. So okay. I didn't have much luck getting that started on that cut before, but this time we're going to try harder. So here we go. Here is, we hope, Sonnet. Thank you. And that is Sonnet from the very newest album by Jennifer Guttenberger, and the album of that name, Sonnet. And again, Jennifer will be performing in concert tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock at Grace Episcopal Church to introduce her CD, her latest release. And there will be a reception following the concert, so you are certainly invited to go to Grace Episcopal Church. There is a modest admission charge, but I think it'll be a very, very pleasant afternoon. So Sonnet by Jennifer Guttenberger. Something interesting coming up on Saturday, three writers, three genres, all in one evening. That's going to be at 8 o'clock, the reading start. Doors open at 7:30, and this will be at Kala, which is at 1017 Marine Drive in Astoria. Award-winning Oregon writer Matt Love, who's currently on tour with his latest release. The book is called Of Walking in Rain, kind of appropriate for the day we're having today and the week we're having, the weekend we're having. He's invited his friends, Pacific Northwest poet Tim Sproul and musician-novelist Willie Vlauten, to join him for a night of reading, camaraderie, and music at Kala. Of Walking in Rain is Love's manifesto on the state's most famous cultural asset. It's a 190-page work of creative nonfiction that examines the subject of rain in Oregon in as many ways as rain falls in Oregon. It was written during the four wettest months of the second rainiest year in Newport history. Also at that reading tomorrow evening, Willie Vlauten, author of Motel Life, which is soon to be released as a major motion picture in the U.S. with Chris Christopherson. He also wrote Northland and Lean on Pete, the winner of the 2010 Ken Kesey Award, and he's had numerous best pick lists. He's also the leader of a Portland-based urban country band, Richmond Fontaine, and the band's latest release, The High Country, is a novel-based recording project. Vlauten will perform selections. The other writer at the event will be Tim Sproul. He's the author of Newported, A Poetic Guide to the Oregon Coast. And he's at work in a new book and will have chapbooks of new material available at the event. He often pairs up with Vlauten in performance, and much of his topic matter centers on the disparities and joy of growing up on the Oregon coast. He's a creative advertising consultant by day, and is a cult favorite among Oregon poets and people who love poetry. And Matt Love dropped off a copy of his book for Carol. And again, this is Roger Rocca sitting in for Carol, who is off on one of her adventures. And I've enjoyed going through Matt's book. And when he was writing it, not only did he do his own creative writing about rain and its many guises in Oregon, but other people would come up to him and talk to him about or hand him things that they had written about rain. And there's one here that I'll just read a short one out of his book that one of his students in Newport handed him. See what you think about this. Have you had this experience? Some nights, when it rains or is storming outside, I like to lay awake and just listen to rain. It's not so much I believe the rain holds any kind of answer, or that I will receive an epiphany from it. I just like the sound. It's a very serene and soothing sound and is easy on the ears. Listening to rain clears my mind and creates a sense of clarity and cleansing. It has a rhythm like music and instruments that play in unison to harmonize one specific sound. It can change cadence, but the sound is still the same. The rain seems to be the only decisive sound in life sometimes. That's from Of Walking in Rain by Matt Love. And again, Matt and two other writers will be at Kala tomorrow night. Readings at 8. The doors open at 7:30. And this is Arts Live and Local on KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. Streaming live on the web at coastradio.org. And this is Roger Rocca sitting in for Carol Newman. Next up, we're going to talk to a person I know pretty well. I'm married to her, so I can ask her really tough questions. Ha ha. Her name is Jan Mitchell, and she is with the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. And Jan, why don't you start by telling us what the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition is and does?
Well, I'll start out by making somewhat an assumption that most of our listeners have heard about the Oregon Cultural Trust. Mm-hmm. And that is an organization which allows tax benefits for giving to cultural groups and for giving to the Oregon Cultural Trust. And unless you want me to, I won't go into the details there. But anyway, the Cultural Trust has two things that they do primarily. One is create an endowment for the future for the improvement of arts, heritage, and humanities in the state of Oregon. And then they also each year give out some grants themselves, and they give each county with a cultural coalition some money to hand out, you know, through a system that we devise, hand out money to groups that have projects for in arts, in humanities, and in heritage. And that's based on population, and I happen to be on the Clatsop Cultural Coalition, and we get about $8,000 a year. And we have a process that we go through that starts in August and pretty much ends in December. And that's why I'm here, because we're gearing up for that, and we have a couple of things we want to announce so people will know about them.
Okay, so the money that we give to the Oregon, what's it called?
Cultural Trust.
The Oregon Cultural Trust. And this is money that we get back, really, on our state tax return.
Yeah, it's a little bit more complex than that, because first of all, you have to give to an organization like KMUN.
Okay.
Or choral groups, or art groups, or, you know, our heritage groups, the Historical Society, that kind of Maritime Museum.
Right.
If you match that up to $500 for an individual or $1,000 for a couple, with your gift to the Oregon Cultural Trust, you can take that amount directly off of the taxes you pay.
Off of your state income.
So you have $500. So you're giving money that you might anyway give to some of the organizations you want to support, but you're also getting a tax benefit there.
Sure. And so from that pot of money that the Oregon Cultural Trust raises, Clatsop County gets or got in the last...
Yeah, it's not actually the county, but, I mean, if you're talking about a governmental thing.
Right, Clatsop County's Cultural Trust gets,
yes,
or got $8,000, which you can then give out to cultural groups or individuals, artists.
Yes.
Who are some of the people in the past who have, can you give us some idea of what kinds of people receive these grants?
Well, sure, we've just an amazing range, and we give normally not... I don't think we've ever given a grant over $2,000 because we want to spread this money and get it used as best we can. Sometimes we're asked, I remember one grant, a kind of funny one. I mean, actually, it was a wonderful woman who was doing art programs in the jail or in the transitional center. And she took the cost of her art supplies down to $643.82 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So she could go ahead and provide programs to people. We've given music stands to Liberty Theater. We've given paint for the Natal Grange. We have brought performers in from Africa or tribal groups. We've helped out ballet companies. We've supported the studio tour here in Oregon, here in Astoria, just all sorts of things, you know, and a group can use it to buy sheet music, they can use it to hold an event, and with all of that, we just ask them, A, to report back to us on what they did, and to use the money in the way they said they would do, and B, to acknowledge the Cultural Trust whenever they do that.
So any person or group that falls under sort of this broad cultural or this broad arts umbrella is eligible to apply for the grants. How do you do that?
Well, we are going to start out October 1st. If you haven't written a small grant before or you're a little nervous about it, we will hold a one-hour workshop on what our application process is and what we mean when we ask you specific questions. That will be held at 7 o'clock October the 1st, which I think is a Wednesday. I'm not absolutely sure. And it's the middle of the week. And that will get you going. We are accepting applications from now until November 1st at 5 p.m. We have a website, and the application form is there on our website. And our website is clatsopculturalcoalition.org.
And we'll repeat that in a couple of minutes in case you didn't get it. So clatsopculturalcoalition.org. Okay, and there you would find all the information you would need to get an application.
You can read our, we have a plan, and we have, we talk about what values we support, and, you know, you'll get a real feel for the organization if you go on that website.
Any tips for people who are thinking, I'd like to apply for that, in terms of how they go about that? What would impress you when you folks are together and you're looking at these applications and trying to decide which applications get the money and where it goes?
For starters, it helps to answer all the questions. Mm-hmm. And you can lose because others do and you don't. And you are competing to a degree. We usually get 20-some applications. It helps if it's something that builds community support. It helps if it keeps a historic structure going. It helps particularly if part of your program is to bring music or art or humanities or heritage to school children. So often, say, a performer will come into town and the group will have them go to the elementary school in the afternoon before they do their performance in the evening, that kind of thing. But really, it's taking that money, using it for a purpose that helps the community and builds strength in arts, heritage, and humanities.
And the people who are actually are on the Clatsop County Cultural Trust are local citizens who have an interest in the arts and an interest in seeing them succeed.
Oh, that's very true. In fact, you know, we have to juggle because most of our group is in a choir or an orchestra or whatever. And we do go ahead and use those people when we're scoring and ranking, but they step aside if it's a project. They have an involvement. You simply, in this small an area, you can't really get a group that cares about the arts and find people who don't do anything with
them. Who aren't involved.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah.
So we're pretty careful about how we do our ranking and we have a meeting where we kind of hammer things out and make sure that we've got a good spread and that we have a geographic balance as well. And we will be having an award ceremony December the 4th. At 7 o'clock, again, at the Liberty Theater in the McTavish Room.
Mm-hmm. And that will be an award ceremony for those people who receive the grants this year.
Yes. You have to get your project in by the beginning of November, 5 o'clock on the 1st, and we will work through the process for a couple of weeks, and then we will get back to people as to whether they received a grant or not.
So again, the time at which you can submit an application begins when?
It began September 15th, and it ends November 1st at 5 o'clock. We've got to have them to us, and that, you know, that may seem heartless, but everybody's starting on the same playing field.
Mm-hmm. And again, let's talk about where someone finds the information about getting the application and so on.
Yeah, we trust somebody in your organization or some friend knows how to operate a computer. So you have to go online to find that, and that's at clatsopculturalcoalition.org. And in fact, in the upper right-hand corner, you'll just see a listing that says application. You click there, and it's right in front of you.
Okay, so answer all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Get it in by November 1st at the very, very latest. Cross your fingers.
And have it and make sure that it actually is something that has to do with art or music or humanities or heritage. You know, cooking classes are wonderful and I love them, but it would stretch our definition a bit to include a cooking class, unless, you know, I probably could come up with an idea for a cooking class that would also be humanities. But, you know, pick your project well.
All right. Well, Jan Mitchell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm glad you could come in. Jan Mitchell of the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition, talking about money to give away. And interestingly, on today's program, we'll be talking in a little while about more money to give away down in Cannon Beach. So stick with us for that. This is Arts Live and Local. Roger Rocca sitting in for Carol Newman, who is off on one of Carol's adventures. And something else coming up tomorrow that's interesting, Red Ray Frazier and Matt Brown will be at the Peninsula Arts Center. Red Ray's shows have been described as date night. He usually describes what he does as soul folk. Whatever it's called, Red Ray's music ranges from a cappella gospel music to a soulful mix of rock, folk, and blues. Accompanying Red Ray will be guitarist Matt Brown, along with who is among the most in-demand session players in the Northwest. Doors will open at 6:30, music at 7. Reservations can be made on the Peninsula Arts Center website, which is www.peninsulaartscenter.org. www.peninsulaartscenter.org. Or you can call 360-901-0962. And the Peninsula Arts Center is located in Long Beach at 504 Pacific Drive North. Also at the Peninsula Arts Center tonight, there's going to be a free open mic, so you can grab your instrument or bring your voice to the Arts Center at 7 p.m. for a free open mic, or just come to listen. Singers, poets, comedians, and all performers are welcome. And you are listening to Arts Live and Local. Not with Carol Newman today, because Carol's off. Roger Rock is sitting in. And we'll be talking in just a couple of minutes with Jessica Sund and Drenda Duff and Susie Simon. And they are all from the Cannon Beach Arts Association, or recipients of grants from the Cannon Beach Arts Association. And we will find out what that is all about. But first, let me remind you about the weather. Look out the window and you'll kind of see what's happening. But we're looking for rain today, tonight, tomorrow, Saturday night and Sunday. And it's showers and a chance of thunderstorms for the next couple of days. And then on Sunday, they're talking about rain heavy at times in the afternoons. It's going to get windy, too, with gusts to 30 miles per hour tonight and tomorrow, and then gusts up to 40 miles per hour in the afternoon on Sunday. Temperature's not bad, though. It'll be in the low 60s to mid-60s during the day, around 55 at night. So it's not a temperature issue. It's just going to be a little wetter than we've been used to for the past month or so. And so with that in mind, here's kind of an appropriate piece of music to play in accompaniment with this rain. This is Aaron Kaplan, who we heard by mistake a little snatch of earlier. And this is one of his numbers called Leaky Roof. Well, hello once again, and we are listening to Arts Live and Local here on KMUN Astoria, and we have with us now three people who are going to talk with us about the Cannon Beach Arts Association. We have Jessica Sund, am I pronouncing that correctly? And Drenda Duff and Susie Simon. And Susie, we're going to start with you because you are on the board that helps make the decisions about who gets what, as I understand it. So tell us a little about that.
Hi, thanks, Roger. Thanks for having us. My name is Susie Simon, and I'm a board member at the Cannon Beach Art Association, whose mission is to enhance and promote the arts in the local community of Cannon Beach. And we each year have a $3,000 artist grant to give to artists, writers, performers, and musicians to show serious intent to produce original materials. The artist must be part of Cannon Beach community, producing or actively exhibiting or performing within the city, or document a short-term residence. We're excited because in the past we have had a diverse selection of applications, and they're wonderful to review and to select an artist to have a year-long project, which they present at the end of the year. We would like to strongly encourage our audience members in Cannon Beach. We need a lot more applicants, and KMUN has application files, forms to fill out, and the forms can also be found on the Cannon Beach Art Association website.
Okay, and do you have the web address for that handy by any chance?
Yes, the web address is www.cannonbeacharts.org, and the phone number for the Cannon Beach Art Association is 503-436-0744. So give us a call, and we'd really welcome you. And one of the great things about the Art Association is that our shows and exhibits change each month. And so it's not the same old kind of art gallery. It's new and exciting and vibrant, and we would love any applicants to be part of us in the community.
I like the smile that goes with that. I can tell you enjoy what you do.
I sure do.
And you said we have applications here at the station.
We do. Yes,
oh, that's
we do.
Great. That's great. Well, we have with us two of the people who have been recipients of the grant in the past. And let's see, Drenda, you were last year's?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Well, tell us about your project and how that came about.
Okay. I am an artist. I paint, and yet I'm very interested in writing. So I applied to create an art activity book for middle grade children. Mm-hmm. And so that's around 7 to 12, 7 to 11, that age group. And it's called Art is the Beach. And the setting is the general region of Cannon Beach. So in that... Well, do you want me to say anything else?
Or? Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I just cover, I guess my biggest challenge when I did this book is to make it interesting, mm-hmm. because it's factual, but it has activities with it. So it has, it covers art concepts, but it also has an activity for them. And one of the challenges was to make it interesting because a lot of, you know, those kind of things, such concepts as linear perspective. Mm-hmm. And so their activity is to create a bridge that goes from the beach to Tillamook Rock Lighthouse.
Right. So all of a sudden, linear perspective instead of this abstract kind of concept becomes something that you can...
Something that's more fun. And I have cartoons throughout, and I also discuss with each of the concepts that we cover what professional artists do. So we have one on sculpture, and they're to find public sculpture around Cannon Beach. And then I talk about what they do and how they come about that. Mm-hmm. They actually apply. There are There's a call to artists, and they apply. And if they get it, they get to make that public sculpture, and it's paid for.
Well, I'm going to ask you in a moment if you have any tips for people who are going to be applying this year. But let me talk first with Jessica. You are this year's award winner, right? Tell us, I got to read your application, and one thing I noted from that is you need to talk with some thoroughness about what you're going to be doing and exactly how you intend to use the money and so on.
Yes, that is part of the process because, I wanted to say something about the process. I was encouraged by the executive director of the Cannon Beach Arts Association to apply, and I actually wrote the application the day before the due date. Mm-hmm. And maybe Susie will talk about the due date in a moment because it's coming up. It is possible, and it took me a while to do it, plus I needed to burn CDs that had pictures of pieces that I had done before, and I cobbled that together in the evening, and it is possible. And I was real happy with how the proposal came out. And one of the things that Andrea May said is, even if you don't get the grant, it's a very good process to go through because it helps a person, an artist, determine where their values lie in the kind of artwork they want to do. And when I wrote my proposal, I realized one of the things that was very important. I guess I should say what my proposal is.
Yes.
This is, again, the story comes first and then the title. So this is something the title of the story, of my story. It's called Coats, Capes, and Vests, An Exploration of DIY Through Wearable Art. And I probably should say that DIY, for people who don't know what that means, is do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Which is a large movement that's happening all over the world. And so I'm making 5 pieces using all of my skills that started with learning how to embroider at the age of 8 to I just started learning how to do composite silk felting. And I've been collecting these techniques and skills over the years, and I wanted to combine them. Plus, I wanted to add an academic element to it because that's the way my brain functions. And I had taken a year of costume history and found it to be the most interesting class I ever took. And that is not my major. Hmm. That was not my major. And what I want to do is incorporate historical techniques into these pieces. Now, they won't look like a costume, but they might have an area that is historic, and then I will talk about that. And I don't want to give away any secrets, don't want to show you the ultrasound before the baby's born. So I really won't. I'll talk about that, or it will be presented in a format at the exhibition, which will be December 6th, the weekend of December 6th is I believe that's the day. The first weekend in December.
I was just looking to see if I have that here, and I don't. So there is sort of a day where if you get a grant, there's a point at which you have to kind of show your completed product, what you've done with that. With that grant. Now, have you done that already? Or are you
I haven't,
doing...
but mine will be on Stormy Weather Weekend on the
on the wall
just
coming
on,
in, yes?
Yes, on the wall when you just enter.
In the entrance.
Yes.
Uh-huh, so everybody gets to look at it first.
Yes, so soon.
So great. So you get a grant to work with that enables you to do the piece of art that you wanted to do,
yes.
And then the public gets an opportunity to see the completed work.
Yes.
And the
yes.
grantor gets to see that
yes,
their money
do.
Was well spent.
We do. We are doing an evaluation halfway through the grant process. So the $3,000 grant is being given out in 2 increments, one of $1,500, and then upon completion of the project, another $1,500. And I do want to stress that it's in a variety of mediums. It can be composing an original song or making a sculpture or finding different weeds around the area and turning them into pigments mm-hmm. and having mm-hmm. artists grind or make their own pigments out of charcoal or bone, and it's really exciting.
It is. What kind of deadlines are we looking at here in terms of people getting their applications in?
I'm really sorry. We're remiss in being so late. But as Jessica said, she completed her grant proposal in a day. So we're looking at a deadline of October 1st.
Okay.
And then the grant committee will meet, and within 30 days of October 1st, we will announce who is the recipient.
So, artists, you have about a week and a half,
it looks like,
to get this done. Jessica did it in one day, so it should be a piece of cake, right?
Right. And please apply. We really are inspired by the applications themselves.
Well, Drenda and Jessica, you both succeeded in your applications. Do you have any things that you would suggest if you had a friend who was going to apply? What would you tell them they should do?
I applied 3 years ago and didn't get it. And the next year, this is something just to tell people, the next year I just looked up in my file and took that out and reapplied with encouragement mm-hmm. from the Arts Association. They've been very encouraging, and got it that time. So this time.
So if at first you don't succeed.
That's right. So we're artists are an insecure bunch, mm-hmm. and it's pretty hard for us to do this. But I can just say that it's worth it.
Well, as you mentioned, it really helps you to sort of get past the insecurity and bring your thoughts together, and it's helpful in many ways.
Yes, and as I mentioned before, and as Drenda was saying, you know, she didn't receive it the first time. I just happened to receive it the first time. Unbeknownst, I just said, I'm going to just give it a shot. It's like I say, it's a good process. And so what if I don't get it? And I did. So again, for those people that have applied before and maybe haven't, maybe we could say apply again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like applying for a scholarship. You don't always get them. But again, the process, it gets easier and easier each time.
Well, let's go back through the process mm-hmm. of applying here again. So mm-hmm. October 1st is the deadline.
Yes, it is.
So we've got about a week and a half.
Yes,
and
we
there's an application form that
yes.
you need to fill out. And you can get one of those here at KMUN.
Yes.
Or you can go online.
Yes.
And that online address is www.canonbeacharts.org?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what else do we need to know? Is that pretty much, have we covered all the bases, or is there more we need to talk about?
I think what we would like to talk about also is that we really encourage original material
mm-hmm.
to come up with a plan of action that is out of the ordinary for the imagination. So you're not just submitting a plan to do a group of paintings, but as Drenda is doing, she's submitting a plan that is inclusive of the community, of children in the community, to learn and participate in the local area. And Jessica is doing this phenomenal historical fabric art and three-dimensional sculpture as well. And so it makes the artists think, and it inspires other artists in the community, and it's really a way to support. We want to show artists in Cannon Beach that we love them, and we want to support them, and we want to enable them to continue their work in the art field.
Well, you kind of answered the question I asked Jan from the Cultural Coalition uh-huh. earlier, and that is what impresses the people who are making the decisions on the application. And I think you've said originality is one of the
originality
big things.
Is one, absolutely. Yeah. And variety also would be part of the application process, say what you're going to do. The presentation of your application is important. As Jessica said, she submitted a CD
mm-hmm.
and her proposals were to work with a variety of different materials and to come up with five different garments to exhibit and just kind of show us, kind of like put it out there, show us what you can do.
Well, I think that's it. The CD, the idea of the CD was that it lets you actually see what she, you got a clear idea of what
Absolutely.
She was proposing.
And also for musicians, okay, you're going to, we're going to give you some money, play us,
right.
Play it to us.
Yeah. So be clear.
Yes.
Be quick,
yes.
Because October 1st is the
yes,
deadline.
Yes, it is.
And again, it is www.cannonbeacharts.org where you can get the application, or you can come down to KMUN and pick one up here. So I want to thank you all very much, Susie Simon, who is on the board, board member in charge of the program, and Jessica Sund and Drenda Duff, who are former
thank
grantees. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You are listening to Arts Live and Local. Unfortunately, Carol Newman is not here today because she is off gallivanting around having a good time. This is Roger Rocca sitting in. And we're going to play another piece of Jennifer Goodenberger's right now from her new album, Sonnet, which she will be previewing tomorrow, actually releasing tomorrow. So here we go. This one is called Romance. Thank you. Jennifer Goodenberger with a cut from her brand new album, Sonnet. This one is called Romance. Jennifer will be in concert tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Grace Episcopal Church. You've been listening to Arts Live and Local on KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, and streaming live on the web at coastradio.org. This is Arts Live and Local. Carol Newman is off and having a good time, we hope. And this has been Roger Rocca sitting in.